Legal Q&A with Coulter Roche Lawyers, station sponsor.
The content of this program is intended only to provide a summary and general overview of matters of interest. It is not intended to be comprehensive, nor does it constitute legal advice. Any opinions or recommendations in this presentation have been prepared without taking into account your personal circumstances or needs. You should seek legal or other professional advice before acting or relying on any of the content.
And with me in the studio talking about your will checklist is Kevin Roche. How are you this morning, Kevin?
I'm fine indeed. Thanks, Mitch.
So you're talking today about your will checklist. So can you tell us a bit more about the checklist that people should be going through? And of course, if anyone has any questions, let us know on 5225947. So what's the process here?
Well, the process is if people do not have a will, there are particular problems that I'll refer to later. But if you haven't got a will, the first thing you should be thinking about is the beneficiaries. And we all have family members or friends that we want to leave assets to. So you need to think about who the beneficiaries would be, who your executors would be, do you have any special conditions you want to attach to your will, any directions, a whole host of things. But the most important thing is who will be your executor and who will be your beneficiaries.
Okay, so if someone doesn't have a will now and they want to get a will, what's the process that they have to go through?
Well, the process is to make arrangements to either see a solicitor or, if you really have to, buy one of those will kits that we don't encourage because we have more problems with will kits than you'd want to think about. So the best bet is to make arrangements to see a lawyer, but go prepared with details of your family members, details of what assets that you have, details of whether those assets are held in joint names or as tenants in common. All those things are very significant in trying to work out what the best way is to approach the planning of your will.
So getting a will kit is like just a DIY solution, whereas if you see a lawyer, they're more likely to make sure they cross all the T's and dot the I's. Is that right?
Yes, I don't want to be too critical of the will kit. Some of them are fairly well done, but they're very standard and they don't make provision for variations. And in this day and age where there are so many blended families, that raises their own particular problems, and you have to be very careful about that.
Well, do you have a sample case study of perhaps one of the problems that people have faced when perhaps using one of these kits, or even just when the will has not been done properly?
Well, if the will isn't done, probably one of the problems would be that it's not executed properly. It might be that somebody has prepared a will, they've written it out themselves, and by the way, I've signed it, and they have a couple of friends over a couple of drinks, and they witness a signature. That can give rise to some issues because the people are supposed to be all present at the one time.
Right.
A change in handwriting because a will's been prepared at different times can give rise to issues that that you have to answer through the probate office. A whole host of relatively smaller issues that can be overcome, but they do create some complications.
Yes, I guess what happens if they haven't taken the time to do a will? If there's no will whatsoever, what happens then?
Okay, if there is no will and somebody dies, they die in what we call an intestate position. And that brings into play the Administration and Probate Act, that I'm sure none of the listeners have read because I haven't for a long time. And that prescribes that the beneficiaries shall be a spouse as to the first $100,000, and thereafter the one-third of the residue, and children of the marriage will receive the remaining two-thirds. If there is a spouse and no children, the spouse will take the lot. People often have the impression or the understanding that if you don't make a will, the government will grab it all. That's a falsity. There's no extra money taken by the government, but it does give rise to administrative problems. Somebody has to apply for what's called letters of administration as opposed to a probate of the will, and that person would normally be the main beneficiary.
Right, okay. And what's this thing about the executor's commission? What does that mean?
Oh, that's a bit of a hot issue. Executors have the right to make a claim for a commission for administering the estate.
Mm.
But most estates, particularly within families, are straightforward, and a spouse obviously wouldn't be claiming commission because she'd be taking money from herself. But if there's an external party, like a family friend or a relation or a professional person, who carries out duties independent of the family, they have the right to claim commission. but it can only be claimed if it's prescribed in the will. The will might say, I direct that my trustees are entitled to receive a percentage of the assets by way of commission for their responsibilities. If that isn't the case, you have to get the consent of all beneficiaries, and that's a problem if there are beneficiaries under the age of 18. And the third way of going about it is to apply to the court, which is often not very successful.
Right, okay. And in the will, there's going to be estate and non-estate assets, is that right?
Estate assets are your house and money in the bank, shares, life insurance. But non-estate assets are superannuation. People often have the impression that I've got my super, so it'll form part of my estate and I'll leave it to whoever. The superannuation is outside the estate unless there is a binding death benefit nomination for it to go into the estate. But the other main asset that's outside the estate are assets within a family trust. And many people have family trusts to run their business or hold investment properties. And the best you can do there is make certain that the right person is in control of the family trust. Normally it would be the executor. And you incorporate a statement of wishes in your will saying, I want the assets in that family trust to go in accordance with the terms of my will. But you can't make a direction in relation to it.
Okay. And who has the authority on what happens to the body under the will?
Well, that gives rise to a number of issues too. Fundamentally, it is the executor who has the responsibility and the authority to dispose of the will and dispose of the body.
Mm.
If it's the spouse, well, that's fine. But sometimes there's no spouse, and it might be an independent person who's the executor with a couple of children who can't agree or who don't talk to one another. And it's then up to the executor to make the final decision. It unfortunately does give rise to some arguments, but the bottom line is the executor can make that final decision.
And in most cases, the executor, as you say, is a spouse. And what other sort of people might an executor be that are appointed in a will?
Well, people certainly should not stop at just appointing their spouse as an executor. They need to go on further and say, if my spouse is unable or unwilling or incapable of accepting that appointment, I appoint my brother or my sister or my children. If the children are under 18, you need to appoint independent people, and normally it's a family member. If it's a complicated estate with maybe a blended family, you might have independent people. Sometimes it's their accountant, sometimes it's their financial advisor, sometimes it's their lawyer. It depends on a whole range of circumstances, and that's why it's most important people do reflect on who they want to be responsible to carry out their wishes under the terms of their will. It's a responsible position. The executor has to get in the assets, has to make sure all debts are paid, has to make sure that the terms of the will are complied with, and assets distributed or held on behalf of children if they're under the age of 18.
Okay, and one of the things I see is people are putting charities in as their beneficiaries. Are there any issues that arise from that, and how common is that? That happens?
Well, if there's a traditional family of mum and dad and two or three children, it normally doesn't happen. But we encourage people to review their wills on a very regular basis. In a minimum of 5 years, they should at least reflect on the terms of their will, or more frequently if there's a change in their financial or personal circumstances. So as they get older, the children are off their hands in one sense, although that often never occurs, and they may very well have developed some assets that they want to provide for on an ongoing basis with their favourite charity. So they may then make provision for a bequest to go to a charity. But one problem we often come across, well, not often, but we sometimes come across, is that people in a dysfunctional family lose contact with their children, decide their children don't deserve anything or don't need anything, and I will leave it all to Bowen Health, whatever. Now, that can give rise to a challenge in the will, which is a very complicated topic, and will be a topic that we'll be addressing in a couple of weeks' time. It's a lecture in its own.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to diving into that, because I know that there's some interesting things to do with that. The will also has a statement of wishes, is that right, which then talks about things like pets? And that sort of thing?
It's amazing how many people wish to continue the care of their pets after they have died. Some people have a very close relationship with their pets, and they most certainly want to make sure the pet's provided for. We try and discourage people from leaving everything to their pets. Yes, there are sometimes directions as to what's to happen to the pet. It's to go to the next door neighbour, or it's to be put down, or it's to be maintained in the manner to which it's become accustomed.
Mm.
The statement of wishes also includes such things as if they've appointed guardians of their children. And that's an issue that's often overlooked. That if you've got young children under the age of 18, particularly if they're around the 9, 10, 12, you should make provision for guardianship in the event that both mum and dad are deceased.
Mm.
It's not binding on the guardian, and it can be challenged by other members of the family, but at least it's an indication of their wishes as to what should happen to their children. So in the statement of wishes, we put in a provision that the guardians are to be reimbursed for all reasonable expenses incurred in the guardianship. And we put in such things as, please advance money to my children before they turn a certain age if the trustee considers that it's appropriate. They're not testamentary directions, but they are fairly persuasive if you put the right people in the position.
Yes, and obviously we'll work out the difference between those in our disputes segment, which will be coming up in a few weeks. So I hear stories, again, of people leaving money to their pets. So who would then manage that money and make sure that it is actually spent if they've left things to their pets? Would it be the executor?
Well, if it just simply says, I direct my trustees to appropriate the sum of $10,000 to look after my pet dog, the trustee can and place the dog with somebody, but the obligation to appropriate the money is an ongoing obligation, and he has to make certain that it's done accordingly.
Okay, and so I guess to wrap up, what do you think is the biggest sort of overlooked issue when it comes to these wills and that sort of thing that people should be taking heed of today so that they get all their affairs in order, so to speak?
The biggest problem is that people do not review their wills. A homemade will is done and it's put to one side. A formally done will through a solicitor is done and people breathe a sigh of relief. They forget about it. Circumstances change. The executors, the substituted executors may be deceased. There might be an extra child that comes along that hasn't been provided for. An asset may have been provided for in the will to go to a particular person and that's been sold. So unless they update their wills on a regular basis, it can create a lot of problems.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in, Kevin Roche. And, of course, you're in a position with Colter Roche Lawyers to provide this sort of help and assistance to people that want to make sure that their situation is up to date.
Oh, yes, Mitch, yes. We've got four lawyers who are involved in nothing but these issues.
Fantastic. So people should get in touch with you directly to make sure that everything's in order. And we'll speak to you again or another person from Colter Roche in a couple of weeks with more topics to do with wills, and we'll go into a little bit more detail.
Okay, good on you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kevin Roche there from Colter Roche Lawyers, station sponsor of 94.7 The Pulse.